this is a little... How about now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now that I'm almost near in. The 39ers are going to be starting up on July 11th. So if you're part of 39ers, please check that in the bulletin. Next week is 4th of July. So please come for that. We're going to be having communion. That's going to be next week. VBS registration. You find it inside your bulletin. So try to fill them up and we'll have a good turnout for that. Banquet of Blessings. Please remember that a lot of this time, especially coming up with 4th of July, there's people who struggle with trying to put enough food on the table. So if you could have some extra stuff when you go shopping and put it in there. I know there's a couple people that come each week looking for stuff, so we appreciate that. CE, do they have anything to mention? Okay, well, CE has something in here about students attending in the fall and that, but okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I am coordinating VBS. I need help. We kind of have the menu. It's just going to be snacks, very simple, but we'll need someone to help with serving teachers or at least for the classes. I will have a list of items that are needed so that this way you guys can sign off, bring them in. We already got gifted for face paint, so we're set with that. But it's going to be July 16th downstairs between Potter's House and the Fellowship Room. And it's for pre-K to 6th grade. And bring your friends, bring your neighbors, come on and have a blast from 9 to 12. One day, it's just Saturday.
Does anyone else have anything they would like to share with us this morning? Please.
Just a quick announcement to please use your envelope for your generous donation to the guys today. Okay.
Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share? Well, let us now please stand for our introit. It's number 12. It's found in our blue hymnal.
Thank you.
Good morning. We're going to do the call to worship. Congregation reads the bold in the bulletin. Come, let us be filled, filled with the Spirit.
Let the song fill our house and praise fill our hearts.
Let us give thanks for the music together we sing.
Now and at every time, give thanks to our Father, in every place and every moment.
Let us give thanks for everything.
To God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Please remain standing for hymn number 685. Let us adore our Abba Father, Papa God, the one who brought all things forth from nothing, whose might and wisdom and understanding are infinite and beyond what we can even imagine. Lord, we come humble of heart, calling out for your mercy and your grace. We worship before you today, just knowing that from the beginning, your plan of redemption was already in place. The sacrifice was already prepared, and the cross was set in the fullness of time. You call to us, come and see. You call all peoples to choose life. Help us, Lord. We cannot succeed without you by our side, you in our hearts. Give us ears to hear all that is shared this day in this service. May it be all to you, your glory this day. Amen. Amen. And as Jesus taught us, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
She forgot, and I did not set up the Bible for her because I knew she had a sheet of paper that had it all on.
I apologize. I left it home by mistake because I read it before I came so I wouldn't make mistakes. And I made the biggest blunder of my life.
Not the biggest.
Yeah, well.
It's time for us to reflect.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Our first scripture that reading this morning is Psalm 81, verses 1 through 7. That's right here. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourines, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our festive day. For it is a statue for Israel and an ordinance of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I have heard a voice I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Our second reading is from Ephesians 1, chapter 15 through 23, on page 949 in your pew Bible. I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And our next reading is Luke chapter 6, verses 51 to 62.
Nine. You said six. I was looking.
Oh, nine. Verse nine.
Okay. Slow down.
Do one.
You don't think.
Yeah. The Samaritan village refuses to receive Jesus. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, follow me. But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do I leave now?
Morning, Covenant Church of Thomaston. As Pastor mentioned, we are from Adult and Teen Challenge in Connecticut. My name is Wayne Gallagher, and I am the Associate Director of the program, and this is my wife, Yvette Gallagher. We are the senior leaders at this particular campus. Adult and Teen Challenge has been in the state of Connecticut since 1996. The founder of the ministry there is Pastor Floyd Miles, who is currently still serving Teen Challenge just at our national office. But he started the ministry there in New Haven, Connecticut in 1996. My wife and I came on board last year. Well, it's been a year and a half now. Can you believe the year is half over? It's crazy. we were able to serve the men there in New Haven, but we could immediately see why the philosophy and the vision had shifted from doing ministry there in the inner city to doing ministry in a more rural area. If you've ever visited the area, you could just see that there's a lot of distractions there the type of distractions that can also be enticing and counterproductive to the lifestyle that Jesus is trying to develop within us. And so last year, at the end of the year in December, we moved out of New Haven, Connecticut, and into Modis, Connecticut. And as you can, is anyone here familiar with Modis? It's a high percentage compared to what we usually experience. But it's great for us because it is situated in a rural area. We are situated on 62 acres of beautiful land, insulated by woods and trees. We still hear gunshots, but they are often in the very distance, and they are a result of not criminal activity. So that brings peace to our hearts as well. We currently have 40 buildings. We have recently renovated four of them to provide housing for 23 men. So we renovated those first three buildings, and then one more since we've been on site is still being renovated. Technically all of them are still being renovated. But by the end of this year and the beginning of next year, we're hoping to have three more buildings renovated so that we can double our population and provide housing for 46 people. So we're just very grateful for the blessing of that brand new property. With it came a nice chapel building, which is probably about half the size of this, maybe a little bit bigger than half, but provides a great opportunity for us to, in New Haven we had our chapel services in random places all the time, and God still moved, but I do feel like it's been productive in a little bit more of a traditional setting where we can have our chapel in there. We are one of the 12 centers in the great region of New England. We are part of a 501c3 nonprofit, so that means we don't receive any government funding as far as paying for the residents to stay there, paying for the bills. We don't receive any government funding for that. Usually when we visit churches, a lot of the churches are familiar with the history of Teen Challenge and how it started in 1958 in Brooklyn, New York, by Pastor David Wilkerson. One person knows. Oh, you're from Brooklyn. Amen. But a lot of churches aren't quite familiar with what takes place during a typical day at Adult Teen Challenge, not just in Connecticut, but all throughout New England. And under the direction of our CEO, Pasco Manzo, we have implemented a lot of new things that I didn't have the opportunity to benefit from when I was in the program a very long time ago. but now we do provide clinical counseling, daily academic studies, HISET, which is not equivalent to a high school diploma. It is a high school diploma. So if men come into the program and they've dropped out of high school, they can go back no matter how old they are. We did have a resident who achieved that last year, which I believe is just miraculous and phenomenal, that in the midst of recovering from addiction and alcoholism, that you can actually be restored to the extent where your brain can, again, retain information and then regurgitate it and get yourself a certificate. I mean, that's miraculous. We provide vocational training. That will be increasing more and more at our new property in Modis. We provide ongoing mentorship, apprenticeship, certified life coaching, Bible studies, prayer, spiritual enrichment events, chapel and church services, transportation to doctors, dentists, probation, court, home, markets, churches, emergency rooms, recreation, warm beds, three daily meals, weekly family visits, and 24/7 supervision. So we could certainly shorten that list and make this presentation less awkward, but I really feel like it's a great opportunity to give glory to God for all of the things that we benefit from at the ministry on a 24/7 daily basis. And what I love about that paragraph is that, you know, anyone can do that as a Christian. Anyone can provide that type of hospitality. It doesn't take a miraculous move of God. I get it that it's not as dramatic as Red Sea splitting and walls being torn down and the dead being raised and limbs being strengthened. But I believe that God celebrates those little miracles that we are able to take part in every single day. And every single one of us can participate in those types of things. And you would just be surprised when you haven't been able to be afforded those opportunities to go to the doctors, to have a warm bed, to have a meal, how it just makes you feel more loved and more like the human being that God created you to be. And so we're fortunate to be able to experience that on a daily basis, and so are you. So thank God for that. At this time, we are going to hear from the choir. They practiced and did a check, and what is it, a sound check? Is that what you guys did? So we got all the mishaps out of the way, and we're ready to certainly not entertain you, but hopefully create an atmosphere of worship in this place.
As the spirit was moving on us,
transition into some testimonies, and everything that you're about to hear, every word that's going to proceed out of the guy's mouth is all a result of the Holy Spirit moving at Adult and Teen Challenge Connecticut. It's not because we're smart or crafty or have a great philosophy and strategy. Sometimes if you looked at us, it might look like there is no philosophy or strategy, just running around. But the Holy Spirit, the same way he was hovering over the void and empty, chaotic condition that the world was in, was hovering over the waters, he was hovering over our lives. In the instant that we invited him into our lives, he began to make us into new creations for our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have Marquise come and share his testimony and how God has created him into something amazing. I know he looks amazing, but when you hang out, when you actually hang out with him, you find out just how amazing he is.
God is good. Thank you, church family. I'm Marquise. I'm 25 years old. I'm also from Brooklyn, New York. And most of all, I'm a prodigal son. My mother was always a prayer warrior growing up, and she raised me to also be a devout Christian. You know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. That was my entire life, the first 14 years of my life, you know. And eventually I allowed two spirits to get control of my heart. That was envy and compromise. You know, I looked at my friends in high school and I didn't understand why they got to have the lifestyle they lived and they seemed so very happy, and why I had to live my lifestyle. You know, why couldn't I be with a woman, you know, before I was married? You know, why couldn't I smoke before school? Why couldn't I drink on the weekends and have fun with everybody? You know, why did I have to live this lifestyle? Why did I have to be righteous, you know, quote unquote? And after a while, I was given over to those lustful desires. And from about 17 to about last year, you know, if it was drinking, smoking, if it was worse, I probably tried it. You know, and I was just trying to fill a void that I had already had filled when I was born. And my mother had me grow up in the church and recite verses, you know, and I tried to fill it with other things because I decided to turn my back on my faith, you know, my salvation, my opportunity to ultimately be an inspiration to other people the right way, you know, but I decided to try and do it the wrong way. So I tried making music and I tried becoming a personal trainer, and they all failed. It didn't matter how good people told me I was at doing those things, it didn't add up for me. You know, I was always miserable and sad, and that just led to more drinking, more smoking. There was no limit to it. Sanity to the point where last year I ended up having a pretty tough breakup with a woman that I actually met in the Seventh-day Adventist church growing up, and I had an opportunity to talk with her, and we had a relationship, and I thought that, you know, she would be the one to deliver me from this chaos, deliver me from this sadness that I had inside my heart, and it didn't work out, and it crushed me, and it sent me spiraling even more. Now I had to drink not only to drown out the fact that I had abandoned my faith, but now I had to drink to forget her as well. And then I ended up moving in with my father for the first time in my life. Never grew up with him. He also used alcohol, and that definitely did not help. And one night I ended up assaulting him. And I ended up going on the run. I was had a warrant out for my arrest. I just had a bad breakup. I had pneumonia. It was not the best time, to say the least. And eventually my mother got in contact with my brother, who got in contact with Steve Stokes, who ran Adult and Teen Challenge, because my father was supposed to go to Adult and Teen Challenge, and he didn't take the call. But now I'm here, 9 months later, 9 months sober, and I have an opportunity to continue to grow as a man of God. You know, and that's what's most important to me now, is hopefully not only just be inspiration to brothers who are in the program, but also inspiration hopefully to my father as well, and let him know that it's possible to change. I have directors like Wayne, directors like Yvette to show me compassion, I got staff like Kevin to show me a little bit of gentleness, you know, and sternness, you know, in the same capacity, and it works, you know, and God, he dragged my half-dead body back into the fold of the Lord, and I'm very happy to be back. I know that there's nothing out there. I wish I didn't have to have that bitter taste in my mouth, but I'm glad that I know now that this is the place where I have to be right now to let people know that Jesus Christ is King, Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ is coming back, and, you know, and I have a testimony now to tell everybody. Scripture I stand on is Proverbs 24, verse 1. Do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company, for their hearts are full of violence, and their lips talk of making trouble. I'm glad to be back in the fold of God, and I hope to continue to stay on that path and never again
as I alluded to earlier, Marquise and all the guys really are just a tremendous source of information, inspiration and information to us. And Marquise really early on in the program started to exemplify leadership skills, just really birthed out of the integrity. And I believe when Jesus said, he who has been forgiven much is grateful for much, I think a lot of Marquise's integrity is birthed out of that. And we just really is, you know, it's hard to lead, right? And it's just a lot easier when people are grateful and you see the work that God is doing in their life. And recently Marquise has started training to help us out with admissions. He hasn't trained as much as I would have liked him to be able to, but he, as he mentioned, our resident life supervisor, Steve, who helped get Marquise into the program, is training Marquise so that Marquise can help other people get into the program as well. And we believe in that principle. We don't want to just raise up followers of Jesus. We want to raise up leaders for Jesus who are going to reach out to other people and invite them into his kingdom and invite them to have the same opportunity that we've had. So we're just very grateful for his willingness to serve the Lord. At this time, we do have another song titled Stand in Your Love. So it'd be appropriate maybe if we did that, right? Stand and worship in his love. If you can't stand, that's fine. I sit in his love all the time too. But if you want to join in worship with us, I invite you to stand. But if you're more comfortable sitting, please feel free to do however.
I give God praise for what he brought me from. I'm a year and about 2 months into the program, and I give him praise, you know, for bringing me to a place called Teen Challenge. I'm from New Jersey. I'm 45 years old, and I started drinking when I was 16. Coming from a broken home, you know, my parents got divorced when I was really, really young. And you figure seeing things like that wouldn't happen when you really can't notice. But it does, you know. You know, both my parents were in my life. But my mom, she, you know, suffering from abuse, physical abuse from her father, and mental abuse, and, you know, tethered into the relationship, which broke it up. And my father, the way he dealt with it was drinking. So I took on these same characteristics, and I started drinking when I was 16, like I said. And by the time I was 21, I was already a full alcoholic, running the streets of New Jersey out of control. You know, nobody could tell me anything. And I'm stealing cars, selling drugs, and I was out of control, where at which someone ended up trying to kill me. And it took me 2 years to get myself together, because, you know, when I got shot, you know, it paralyzed me. You know, but God's grace is good in that, because, you know, here I am standing. I had 6 doctors tell me I would never walk again, but God's good in that. And I was thinking back, you know, when I came to Teen Challenge, getting shot and all the things I've been through, running the streets of New Jersey, things would change my perspective. But it didn't, you know. I couldn't run the streets like I did, but I still was in a bonds of addiction, you know. And, you know, not just alcohol and marijuana. Now I'm on pain medication, and I'm abusing, eating, selling drugs. I'm still in a bondage of sin, still not living in understanding of who God has me to be. And it just kept festering, and I end up, you know, in bondage in my addiction. I'm subject to sin, and I'm lost in sin, and I'm just so far gone. And, you know, here comes suicide. The devil couldn't take me out with a bullet, so here comes suicide. You know, and to go through on, this is 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and now I'm 40-some years old, and I'm hotels bouncing around, and in my mind, I'm insane. I'm really insane. I'm drinking, I'm smoking weed now, I'm in heroin, and it just took me to a place where I was like, I gotta end it. My family took to turn their back on me, and, you know, I was hurt and I was bad. And I look back and I seen the offenses from my mom, and I seen the offenses from my father and how they were hurt, and minds were just open. And the devil was trying to destroy me in these things. And I was afraid, I had so much fear. I didn't know who to stand to turn to, because my family didn't have to do me, which was rightfully so. So I'm like, who's got me? You know, who has me? Who's gonna help me? And here comes Jesus, I am. And he gives grace. And I'm letting you know, in that grace, Jesus will leave the 99 and come get you. And I mean, he came and got me. He ripped me out of New Jersey, dropped me right up here in Teen Challenge, and some good soil, you know what I mean? Shook me up, because it's not an easy program. It's not, right? You know, that's why I give him praise for the years that I did, because I always never finished anything. You know, I didn't finish high school. I always walked in fear. I always, you know, screamed or hit my way out of things. But now he's disciplining me. He's giving me a name. You know, my name is Bronny, and who I am is the Son of the Most High God, and I learned that here in Teen Challenge. You know, he grows us up in plants, and he cut away all the bad and started cultivating me, and, you know, pruning me and giving me understanding. And now I know I'm the Son of the Most High God, and I got security in him. You know, I have purpose. You know, I know where I'm going. I can't fail. As long as I'm in the will of God, I know I cannot fail. And this is what I learned here in Teen Challenge, through Kevin, through Wayne, through Yvette, you know, and Steve Stokes, you know, just having a good perspective of who God is and who I am in him. And I give him praise. I say, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord, because I know who I am and I know where I'm going. I have no more fear. I have an understanding. I give thanks for the brothers. You know, we clashed, we're a real family. But he's taught me, take the good and take the bad, anything, let it draw closer to you. And I say, praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm trying to say, we clash sometimes daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minute by minute. You know, and there's a lot of transition going on, as I mentioned, with the property and geographically and all of that, but we're also going through a transition, and guys that were once residents are now stepping up into leadership, and with that comes tension, and Bronnan's been a part of that, and you know, it's a whole new level, you know, to enter into a place in the program where now you're not just accountable for yourself, but you're accountable for other people. you know? And then there's this dynamic of, this guy was my buddy, now he's trying to tell me I gotta be on time, he's, you know, reporting things about me. And Bronwyn has done a phenomenal job embracing that role in leadership as of recently, and he'll be graduating July 24th, I believe is the date. So we're gonna go and celebrate that occasion with him. But he's been a huge help and blessing in participating in all those things I was reading to you, that whole entire paragraph. Brandon and Timmy as well have been helping us facilitate those things, getting people to the doctors on time, making sure the program's structure and punctuality is being facilitated. So it's just amazing to see what God can do if we're just willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll go, send me, like that hymn we sang earlier today. We do have one more testimony, and it's going to be Sean B. So he's going to do some acrobats first. Show us his, his flexibility.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Sean. I'm 39 years old, originally from Manchester, Connecticut. I've had the enemy try to work his tricks on me from a very early age. I was actually born premature. I was 1 pound, 3 ounces. I was born blind. I had underdeveloped lungs that required tubes to help me breathe, and I had massive heart surgery. My parents dubbed me the miracle baby. Made sense until they divorced when I was young, and my mother was physically absent, and my dad became an alcoholic and was emotionally absent. I was raised by my grandfather. He was my hero, my best friend, my world. He was also a drummer. I looked up to him in every single way. When I was 14, he passed away with leukemia. My world came crashing down. My high school girlfriend left me too. All this started to develop these thoughts in me that, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm broken, there's something wrong with me, I can't receive love because just I'm undesirable. It's weighed on me for years. I hurt my back in my 20s at a job, and back then their way of fixing things was just pain management. Throwing prescription drugs at you. I got hooked on opiates. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I hurt my back in my 20s, got prescribed painkillers. Soon found out if I took enough of them, those feelings of unworthiness, of not being loved and being able to receive love, would drift away. Spiraled through addiction for a very long time. Met a woman. She helped me get clean. We decided to get married. Couple months after I got married, the big word divorce popped in. All those feelings of being a little kid, losing everybody, not being good enough for love, came flushing back. Like, I thought getting married would fix my problem, you know? Like, I felt like Superman putting on his cape when the wedding band was put on my finger. I was mistaken. I soon developed a heroin addiction. I lost my job, car, house, cat. Usually guys laugh when I say cat. Obviously lost my wife, became homeless for a while, had numerous stints in rehabs, psych wards, you name it, it happened. Then one day my sister found me when I was homeless on the streets in Hartford, and she told me about Adult and Teen Challenge, and my sister's been a Christian for 20 years, and I wasn't at that point. I just told her, I was like, you want me to go to a Christian program? She's like, yeah. I just kind of laughed at her, but she knew. Coming to this program was literally the best decision I ever made. Something pulled at me. I talked to Steve Stokes, and within like 3 minutes, I was like, I'm coming. Everybody knows the gentleness of Steve. You know, I've had the guidance of Wayne, Yvette, Kevin. You know, it's like, I'm so glad that they allow God to work through them. I realized walking in the doors that love that I couldn't get from humanly people was actually the love from the Lord, and it filled me. I was once blind, literally. Now I see. My lungs that were underdeveloped and I couldn't breathe have been filled with His breath, and He gives me purpose. In my heart that was broken through surgery as an infant, all throughout life, has been healed by His touch.
and by this family behind me. What's crazy is when my grandfather died, I told you guys he was a drummer. He died when I was 14. I couldn't even be around a drum kit. And I told Wayne and Yvette this, and they gently coerced me into do it. And they're like, listen, if you start playing for the Lord, it's going to be totally different. Every time I sit on a drum kit now, something happens and I get to hang out with my grandfather. Scripture I stand on is 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love never gives up, and it's faith, hope, and patience never fail. Thank you.
So Sean also helps us out with our worship services at our program. We have chapel every single day. We're not able to assemble the worship team every single day. We try to do that at least once a week on Mondays. And, you know, sometimes it's really easy for us to identify potential and gifting in others, but overlook it in ourselves. And Sean, you know, like he was saying, had a hard time with that, but we saw gift in him, and he was willing to allow the Lord to bring it out and use it. And aren't you glad that he did?
Yes.
We might have rhythm issues and timing issues if he didn't show up and play the drums. So he keeps people. He keeps people like me who have rhythm issues on par. We do have one more song, and I don't know the title. What is it?
Who? Come to the altar.
Oh, come to the altar.
Thank you.
thank you once again for having us this morning. Before we depart, there are a couple of opportunities that we wanted to go over where we can partner together. And the first one is prayer. And I know in my personal testimony that I wouldn't be here standing before you today if I didn't have someone praying for me. So as you came in this morning, I trust that you received one of our prayer cards. And if you would, just fill that out. And again, it doesn't matter how big or small the situation is. I mean, I love little kids' prayer requests. So like, can you pray for my goldfish? Yes. Because we are sometimes enamored with God's infinite power, but kind of overlook his imminent presence, intimate presence. Like he's big and he's like in the small things as well. So whatever it is that you're going through, our staff meet daily, Monday through Friday, and we pray every single day over these prayer requests. So if you would fill that out and return it to our table over there that Pastor has so graciously allowed us to set up, which this is nice because I don't usually have it so close by to have it set up on display over there and be able to refer to it. So if you'll kindly visit us over there and slip that prayer request card into our box, we will certainly pray for you in that regard. As you're over there, also notice some of our products. I want to highlight our cutting boards this morning because they're still sort of new to our product table. And they serve two purposes, and the first is that they give guys in the program an opportunity to learn a trade, because these boards are handcrafted by our men in the program at campuses in New Jersey, Massachusetts, Boston, Vermont, and soon to be in Connecticut. We'll have a carpenter shop on our site, and we'll be handcrafting these boards ourselves. So the men learn a trade, they learn how to create them. And then they provide support for the ministry. We raise our own funds. We don't receive any government funding. So if you would be so kind to visit us. And, you know, they're very heavy. So the more we can sell, the less we have to carry. And you can help us out in that fashion. Because, you know, as we had to change the name from Teen Challenge to Adult and Teen Challenge. And that's because we're getting older. And the more of those boards we have to carry, the more likely it is we'll injure ourselves and need time off for that. So the last way that I want to mention that we can partner together is through our dollar a day sponsorship. So as Dan and Eric come and join me here, as I mentioned, we don't receive any government funding, and we don't want any government funding because we like our program to be Christian. We like to be able to preach Jesus Christ. Somebody once said that we have a 73% success rate, and that's phenomenal. If you inverted that to 37%, I can guarantee you that the secular programs don't even have that. But what I want to tell you that we are 100% at is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every single resident that comes through the doors of the program. Every single resident has a 100% chance of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and we believe all of our success is credited to that. And I believe that if we were to receive government funding, that they would come in and change our curriculums and tell us, you know, that we couldn't talk about Jesus and exchange him for like a light bulb or a tree branch or something ridiculous like that. you've heard a lot about Steve Stokes. He's a phenomenal staff member and a huge blessing to us. He's also, he's been doing really two jobs at our program for about 5 years now. He's also our admissions coordinator, and he did some number crunching, and he put together some numbers, and he figured that it would cost us about $2,400 a month to house each resident. So we're able to supplement that with other things like the cutting boards and different ways that we raise funds, but this dollar a day sponsorship is just another way that we can provide housing for the guys. We do have an induction fee, we have sponsorship, but even if a guy comes in with $0, we're still going to give him everything that he needs. So if you're interested this morning in sponsoring a resident for a dollar a day, if you would just slip up your hand, Eric and Dan will give you the opportunity to do that by handing our dollar a day sponsorship pamphlet to you. And if you do it for the entire year, you will receive our 365-day devotional over at our product table. So if you do that, please don't forget, Yvette is holding it up there. It's got a pretty little picture of a sunrise or a sunset. What is that? It's pretty either way. It's kind of a trick question. You really probably couldn't tell. Either way, the sun is going up or coming down. But if you do that, please feel free to stop by our table and receive that complimentary 365-day devotional. And these are just some ways that we can continue to partner together through prayer, through believing and trusting in the Lord, and see Him bring addiction to an end in this great state of Connecticut of ours. Once again, thank you so much for having us this morning.
Blessed. I thank you very much for coming. It was a beautiful, beautiful testimony, and we appreciate it very much. And we continue to be blessed as God blesses us each and every day. We have the joy in being able to give back to Him. I know to meet you guys that way.
Thank you.
Song is found in the insert.
I was a runaway, now I am finally home.
bless. Father, you gave your son so that we could be set free. Our scales are gone. Our eyes are open. Let us be like these gentlemen and tell the world of all that Jesus has done for us. Let us go out this week being a disciple, standing up and sharing the glory and grace of God. Grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord, it endures forever. Go in his peace.
Amen. Amen.